We have been studying the names of God, and the premise of our study has been this: God has progressively revealed himself to his people by introducing himself with and identifying himself by different names at different times. God's names were given to man by God himself during specific times of man's need, so that we might know that God is our all in all. And rather than taking the time this evening to review, as we have done each Wednesday evening, we'll get right down to the task this evening of presenting the name of God, Jehovah M'Kadesh, the God who sanctifies. Now, I have two more presentations to make in this series, bringing us up to the Thanksgiving holiday. But yet, this is the last name that we will examine. Next week, we will discover all the names of God that we have learned to date to be found in the 23rd Psalm. And as we study the 23rd Psalm, a familiar psalm to everyone, we will find God's names embedded there, his character embedded there in that psalm. And then the following week, I intend to teach you how to use the names of God in a practical way in your daily Christian life. And what do we do now with the dozen names that we've learned, the dozen names of God, and how might we use them in a devotional time or in our prayer life or in our conversation? And so that is the course that we are charting and the game plan for application. This evening, I want us to find the name Jehovah M'Kadesh in a number of closely related scriptures, and we're going to begin together in Exodus chapter number 31. Exodus 31, I trust you brought your Bibles this evening. We do use our Bibles at Fourth Baptist Church. That's our practice and our habit, and we encourage you to bring a Bible. We begin in Exodus chapter 31, and be prepared to look at a number of different texts quickly with me. Exodus 31, verse number 12. And the Lord, that's Jehovah, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak also to the children of Israel, saying, surely my Sabbaths you shall keep, for it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that you may know that I am the Lord who sanctifies you." Right there is the Hebrew Jehovah M'Kadesh, Jehovah Kadesh, the Lord Jehovah who sanctifies you, or separates you, or consecrates you, or makes you holy. Turn to Leviticus chapter number 20. Leviticus chapter number 20. I'm listening for the pages to rustle. Good. Leviticus 20, verse 7. "Consecrate yourself, therefore, and be holy, for I am the Lord your God." Verse 8, Leviticus 20, verse 8, "And you shall keep my statutes and perform them. I am the Lord who sanctifies you." There it is again. How about Leviticus 21, chapter 21, across the page, verses 7 and 8, speaking of the regulation for conduct of priests. "They," the priest, "shall not take a wife who is a harlot or a defiled woman, nor shall they take a woman who is divorced from her husband, for the priest is holy to his God. Therefore, you shall consecrate him, for he offers the bread of your God. He shall be holy to you, for I am the Lord who sanctify you, am holy." Leviticus 21, verse number 15, further down the page. "Nor shall," speaking of the priest, "he profane his posterity among his people, for I, the Lord, sanctify him." Verse 23, "Only he shall not go near the veil or approach the altar, because he has a defect, lest he profane my sanctuaries, for I, the Lord, sanctify them." Chapter 22, verse 8, Leviticus 22, verse 8, "Whatever dies naturally or is torn by beast, he shall not eat," again speaking of the priest, "to defile himself with it. I am the Lord. They shall therefore keep my ordinance, lest they bear sin for it and die thereby. If they profane it, I, the Lord, sanctify them." Chapter 22, verse 16. "Or allow them to bear the guilt of trespass when they eat their holy offerings, for I, the Lord, sanctify them." Chapter 22, verse 32. "You shall not profane my holy name, but I will be hallowed among the children of Israel. I am the Lord who sanctifies you." What is going on here? In all of these verses here, God is outlining the particulars of his expectations for Israel. And the rationale for these distinct instructions is the distinctness of God's very person, his very character. In the Hebrew word kadesh, translated sanctify, so many times here in Leviticus chapters 20, 21, 22, in all of these verses and that we've read, can be translated additional ways. And I put them for you there on the screen. Sanctify, or sanctuary, or consecrate, set apart, dedicate, and hallowed, or we might sum it up with this, holy. You see, here is your Hebrew lesson for this evening. The word kadesh is derived from the word kadosh, or holy. And God often designated himself, calling himself kadosh, or holy. In fact, many times in the Bibles, it's translated the Holy One of Israel, kadosh. But if we look again at Leviticus 20, and this is our primary text this evening, Leviticus 20, verses 7 and 8, here is what it literally says. Look at Leviticus 20, verse 7. Consecrate yourself, or literally, kadesh yourselves, therefore, and be holy, or kadosh. Kadesh yourselves, therefore, and be kadosh. For I am the Lord your God, and you shall keep my statutes and perform them. I am the Jehovah Kadesh. Okay, look again at verse number 7. Leviticus 20, verse 7. Kadesh yourselves, therefore, and be kadosh. For I am the Lord your God, and you shall keep my statutes and perform them. I am Jehovah Kadesh. Let me give you the comparison here on the screen. Leviticus 20, verse 7. Kadosh is translated holy. The word translated sanctify in verse 7 and 8 is kadesh. Now, if you will look at the Hebrew there, the only difference between those two Hebrew words is a little bit of vowel pointing. You see it right there that I've highlighted. But as I've explained previously, every Hebrew word is made of a triliteral root. And so these two words share some etymological similarities. And I put this on the screen so that we understand that God's intent is to make us like what he is. And he is calling us to be like he is. Kadesh yourself and be kadosh. Consecrate yourselves, sanctify yourselves, and be kadosh, holy, for God is holy, and God is the one who's going to do the work. Now, this begs, and we're done with the heavy lifting here this evening, this begs the $64,000 question. What does holiness look like? And if we are to be holy, if we are to sanctify ourselves, what picture comes to mind? How can we illustrate holiness? If we were to ask pop culture to picture holiness, they would probably give us a number of different images. In fact, I did a search of Google Images with the title of holy. And here is what I found. Does this help you understand holiness? That picture? This is the Dalai Lama, if you don't recognize him. Is this a picture of holiness? Well, what does holiness look like? What about this picture? This picture is evidently the cover of a British coloring book. You see the word coloring there is spelled in the English style. Or perhaps this is a picture of holy as I searched the Google images for holy or holiness. These are the things that I found. And this looks like some poster in a little boy's room, you know, maybe with the caption, "The Final Frontier" or something. How is this a picture of holiness? And because I don't have a picture of holiness for you this evening, I need to give you a lot of text on the screen. And the text that I give you will be scripture text. And it will help us to picture holiness. I want to address these three ideas this evening. The model for holiness, the mandate for holiness, and the means for holiness. As God instructed Israel, and he does also the New Testament believer through Peter, consecrate yourselves and therefore and be holy. For I am the Lord your God, and you shall keep my statutes and perform them. I am the Lord who sanctifies you. I am Jehovah M. Kadesh. Leviticus 20, 20, verse number 8. First, the model for holiness. Leviticus 20, verse 26, perhaps it's also open before you there in your laps. And you shall be holy to me, for I, the Lord, am holy, kadosh, and have separated you from the peoples that you should be mine. A.W. Tozer has written this: holy is the way God is. To be holy, he does not conform to a standard. He is that standard. He is absolutely holy with an infinite, incomprehensible fullness of purity that is incapable of being other than it is. Because he is holy, his attributes are holy. That is, whatever we think of as belonging to God must be thought of as holy. And the model of God's holiness can be seen in a number of ways. First, it can be seen in God's works. Psalm 145. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and holy in all his works. God's works are a reflection of his character, and they are holy. The model of God's holiness can also be seen in God's law. Romans 7:12, wherefore the law is holy and the commandment holy and just and good. God's law is a reflection of his character. It is holy, also Psalm 19. God's holiness can be seen at the cross. 2 Corinthians 5:21, for he, God, made him, Jesus Christ, who knew no sin, to be sin for us. And on the cross, that great exchange took place when our sins were laid upon the person of Jesus Christ. His righteousness was imputed to us. If you were here Sunday morning, you remember that study. And as Jesus bore the sins of the world upon himself, God had to turn his back on his own son. God turned his back on God because Habakkuk 1 says, of God's holiness, you are of purer eyes than to behold evil and cannot look on iniquity. He is separate and distinct from that sin. And so our model for holiness is the person and the character of God. What about the mandate for holiness? The mandate for holiness is here in our text this evening, Leviticus 20, verse 8. And you shall keep my statutes. You shall perform them. I am the Lord who sanctifies you. And here the mandate for man's holiness is expressed as the will of God. God's will for you is holiness. Many times people say, Pastor Matt, how do you discern God's will? I'm in the market for a new car. How do I know if I should buy the Ford or the Chevy? Well, that's really easy. Don't buy either. Buy a Toyota. I don't know. But how do you know God's will? Where should I go to school, or who should I marry, or what job should I take? Let me tell you what God's will is. God's will is for you to be holy. That's his will for you. And I love Leviticus 20, verse 8, because it nicely associates the ideas of human responsibility. Keep my statutes and perform them. You see it there? And divine grace. I am the Lord who makes you holy, or I am the Lord who sanctifies you. And it weds the two ideas of human responsibility and divine grace. Be holy. Be holy. That's your responsibility. For I am the one who makes you holy. And of course, for all of church history, I suppose, theologians have argued this very notion of sanctification. Is it us who works, or is it God who works? God's will is for us to be holy. Also, 1 Peter 1. As he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. And this is the will of God. How about 1 Thessalonians 4? This is the will of God, your sanctification, for God did not call us to uncleanness, but holiness. Ephesians 4, 24, put on the new man, which is created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. 2 Corinthians 7:11, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Our model for holiness is God himself, the person and the character of God. The mandate, the command, is for us to be holy. Now, number three, and this is really where we want to go, the means for holiness. How do you get there? How do you experience sanctification and holiness in your life? Well, before you look at the screen, many are taught that it is don't drink, smoke, or chew. Go with girls that do. That is how you conform yourselves to the image of God. Your hair needs to be cut a certain way. You need to be dressed a certain way. You need to attend a certain school. You need to use a certain Bible version, etc., etc., etc. These are the litmus tests for holiness. So how can we conform ourselves to be like God, godliness, or to be like Christ, Christ's likeness, or to be spiritual? How can we become holy? And I would suggest here, it's on the screen, the means for holiness is first God's word, that he might sanctify and cleanse her church, the church, her, with the washing of water by the word. That's why God's word is so important. It is a cleansing agent to conform us to the image of God. Psalm 119 asks, how can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to thy word. Of course, John 17 in Jesus' high priestly prayer, Jesus prayed, Father, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. God's word is the means for our sanctification. Also, the means of holiness is God's Spirit. And I simply put the scripture reference there on the screen. We're not going to take the time this evening to explore Romans chapter 8, but certainly God's Spirit. We could also add here another means for the purifying and the sanctifying, making us holy, would be trials and different things that God used. But we're still looking for a picture. What does the super Christian look like? And what does the godly, holy person look like? After all, if we can just imitate or mirror or conform ourselves to that picture, we'll have it made, right? Well, yes. But that is why we are being progressively conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. And I want to give you a diagram this evening regarding the notion of sanctification or growing in holiness. And here is the diagram that I will suggest to you. By birth into the human race, we are sinners. And before the cross, we are the natural man. Of course, by God's grace and his grace alone, our sins are forgiven. We are regenerated, born again, made a child of God. And you know all those rich truths. And we look forward to the day when we will be glorified and spend eternity in heaven with God. Right? But what about the space, all of that space between the cross and glory? That's where you and I live right now, right? And that's the struggle we call the Christian life. What is our experience now between our conversion and our glorification? It ought to be the experience of sanctification, or growth in holiness by God's grace and in spiritual disciplines. And this is the Christian who is growing in godliness like God, growing in Christ's likeness like Jesus Christ, growing in spirituality like the Holy Spirit. And if this is not the case, we might describe that child of God as a carnal or a fleshly Christian as opposed to a spiritual Christian. Now, some believe that there is no category as a carnal Christian. And I'm not so convinced. I think there is a category as a carnal Christian, one who is not progressing as they ought in sanctification or in holiness or in conforming to the person of God. And this diagram here is, I believe, the picture of what God has called us to do and is a picture of what God is doing in us, because his character demands it. And all the way back in the Old Testament, well, Pastor Matt, the Old Testament, that's for Israel. That's not for the church. Well, the principle begins in the Old Testament, and the principle continues because the character of God is immutable. It doesn't change. And just as God was calling his people Israel to sanctification or holiness, so also God is calling his people, the church, to sanctification or holiness. And God is saying, you be Kadesh. Consecrate yourselves, because I am Kadosh. I am holy. And what we call this is progressive sanctification. It's a process. And it's a work of God. And it's a responsibility of man. How does God enable us to meet his requirements of holiness? An answer lies along the path of John Bunyan's famous travelers. Perhaps you've read John Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress. Late on their journey, Bunyan's pilgrims discover a wonderful mirror. There's nothing unusual about the front of the glass. However, on the back of the mirror appears an image of the crucified Lord Jesus. Everyone who looks in the mirror's face sees an ordinary reflection that includes the blemishes and scars that always accompany our humanity. Yet anyone who observes these same persons from the reverse side of the mirror sees only the glory of the Son of God. This amazing glass from Pilgrim's Progress pictures the answer to how we can be holy in this life. Our holiness is not so much a matter of what we achieve as it is the grace our God provides. Grace is God's willingness to look at us from the perspective that sees His holy Son in our place. God can certainly see the faults and frailties reflected in the mirrors of our lives. Still, He chooses to look at those who trust in His mercy through the lens that features the holiness of His own child in our place. As a consequence, He loves and treasures us as much as if we had never sinned. And that is the positional truth that we even spoke of this past Sunday morning. What does that do for you? I'll tell you what that does for me. That compels me to want to further reflect the image of God in my life, in the small matters, to Kadesh myself, because He is Kadosh. And so I separate myself from sin and evil and wickedness and darkness and that which is not of God. You say, well, Pastor, what about the gray areas, right? There's gray areas. Well, you know what 1 John says? 1 John says that He is light and in Him is no darkness at all. So why do we argue over the gray areas? We should be working to progressively be moving toward that light, that greater purity, that greater holiness, instead of fighting with the gray areas. Jehovah Kadesh, the God who sanctifies. Remember, it's God who is making us holy. But at the same time, we have a responsibility to separate ourselves unto God. Last illustration, and then we'll conclude. Growing up, perhaps I've used this illustration before. Growing up in our home, my mother had a set of fine china that her grandmother had left her. And that fine china was in the china cabinet in our dining room. And then she had another set of dishes that we kept in the kitchen cupboards. And that other set in the kitchen cupboards was chipped a bit. It was scratched. The plates and the saucers, and they weren't all the same size. And for that matter, they didn't even match. But on a daily basis, we used the dishes in the kitchen cupboard for bologna and cheese at lunch. But when it came time for Christmas dinner, or when we had a special guest in our home, that's when we went to the china cabinet in the dining room and we got out those special dishes. Now, we were not separating, hear me, we were not separating the fine china from bologna and cheese at lunch. We were separating the fine china for the special occasion. And in the same way, God is calling us to do the same. 2 Timothy chapter 2. In a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and of earth. Some to honor, some to dishonor. And if we cleanse ourselves, we can be that vessel of honor. Not separated from bologna and cheese, but separated for the special occasion. And that is what God is calling His people to. God is Kadosh. He is holy, holy, holy. And woe to us as His people if we are not working to Kadesh ourselves, sanctify ourselves. For remember, in the end, it is Jehovah Kadesh, the God who will sanctify us. Let's pray. Lord, we bow before You this evening in worship. as we acknowledge that you are holy, you are hallowed, you are separate and set apart from your creation. You are pure and distinct. And Lord, because of your character, revealed even in your very name, you have called us to that. God, may you find us to be set apart to you. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.